It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
Welcome into the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for the Boston Celtics. The Celtics drop a big one tonight against the Denver Nuggets, 119-99. And I have to say, this is a game I thought, believe it or not, out of this five-game road trip, was going to be the toughest one for the Celtics team. I feel like the Celtics sort of found themselves in a pattern that they just couldn't get out of playing against this Nuggets team. This is a tough Nuggets team. Do not forget the fact that this is a team that is battling for a spot in the playoffs. They have that spot right now, but they are fighting to stay in that spot. And they certainly showed it tonight why they can be so tough against the Celtics. I'm your host, Joseph Pavone. I'm joined alongside Calvin Chamberlain. And we have Chris Finland behind the glass. So we have a jam-packed studio tonight and plenty to talk about in this game and plenty to talk about moving forward, because now the Celtics are only – they got 16 games left to secure this two seed. And I have to say, if you look at the team that they're going to face within those 16 games, most of them – are teams that are under 500. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Celtics finish off the regular season. And if they can hold on to that second seed, it will be huge for them. But let's get back into this game. All right. Okay. So for starters, closing out a five-game West Coast trip is always tough, right? I mean, any game at the tail end of a long trip is usually going to be a tough one. But like I said, this Denver team is clinging on to that eighth spot in the Western Conference, and they're a tough matchup against the Celtics. But here's the biggest reason why I think they're a tough matchup against the Celtics. Denver's numbers, okay? Here they are. Second in the league in rebounding, averaging 55.2 boards a night. Second in the league. They're also third in the league in points per game, averaging 110.6. Tonight, of course, they exceeded that by scoring 119. And here's the third one. They average 49 points in the paint. They're actually third in the league. Talk about a recipe for disaster when you're playing against the Boston Celtics and you're the home team. Those three statistical categories are going to put you in great shape to beat the Boston Celtics. And that's exactly what happened tonight, especially against the Celtics team that's at the tail end of a five-game road trip on the road, just smelling that airplane to go back to Boston and get things going back home against the Bulls on Sunday. So, and they have a quick turnaround too. I mean, this isn't a game that they can just relax for a couple of days. No, they play Sunday. They play in a matinee against the Bulls at TD Garden. So it's going to be a tough game to start their trek and trying to secure the second seed. But with that, I bring in my co-host, Calvin Chamberlain. Calvin, I have to ask you this. Is this a frustrating loss if you're the Celtics? Or does this loss just remind you of what should have happened back in Phoenix, where they could have still finished this road trip 3-2 heading back to Boston on Sunday?
Well, I'll tell you, I think Calvin is here. Calvin, are you there?
Yeah, am I on?
You are, yes.
Yeah, Calvin. So, sorry.
Yeah.
Calvin, you there? All right, we got disconnected
here.
Calvin, right before you got disconnected, I was asking you, is this a frustrating loss for the Celtics, or does this loss just remind you of what should have happened in Phoenix not too long ago? Because they could have still finished this road trip 3-2, which would have been phenomenal, you know, considering the teams that they face throughout this five-game stretch. So do you think that this sort of loss just sort of reminds you of what could have been? Or do you think that this loss in general is just still frustrating no matter how you look at it?
Well, I would say it's a mix of both things. I heard your opening when you talked about how the Nuggets are a bad matchup for the Celtics, and I agree with that because the Nuggets are – you know, the Nuggets are a big team and the Celtics are a small team. And they score points in the paint. The Celtics are not particularly good at defending the rim. you know, I, when we did the game on Wednesday night, I said that I thought the Celtics would probably lose this game because of just the coming off the emotional high of having a win at Golden State and then having to go to Denver, where it is hard to play because of the elevation, because that is a deep team that sort of tries to run you off the court. All those factors, the end of a long road trip, I don't think in a vacuum the loss is not the end of the world. I do think it. You might say the road trip is slightly disappointing if you combine, you know, this loss with the fact that they lost at Phoenix, certainly. But I think, you know, if we're talking big picture, there are some things that I'm concerned about that sort of manifested themselves in this game, or even, you know, more so just overall in this road trip. You know, even including the win at Golden State, I think there are things that you can look at to be a little bit concerned about the Celtics, despite the fact that they won that game at Golden State.
This is the Celtics pregame show, and our opening segment is powered by the SeatGeek ticketing app, the smartest and easiest way to buy and sell sports and concert tickets. Get a $20 rebate on your first purchase by downloading the free SeatGeek app to your phone. Go to the settings tab and click add a promo and enter the code CLNS. That's CLNS for a $20 rebate. And so SeatGeek knows who sent you. To get your $20 rebate, again, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code CLNS. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. If one thing we learned about the Denver Nuggets is that, boy, do they have some offensive weapons. I mean, like I said off the top, I mean, they're the third best scoring team in the league, believe it or not. I know the record doesn't necessarily indicate that, but these guys can score. And that was certainly the case tonight. It felt like the Celtics were sort of teetering between a double-digit deficit and, you know, not too far away from putting together a 6 or 8-0 run that would have put them right back into it. But it just wasn't the case. I felt like they didn't have their legs, especially in that second half. You can just see it. They were settling for jump shots. They couldn't find that offensive rhythm to make the comeback. And even though the Denver Nuggets continued to miss shots and continued to give them opportunities, the Celtics just didn't have it in them. From 8 points to 13, it felt like, throughout that third quarter. And by the fourth quarter, same story throughout the first four minutes of that fourth quarter. But then the second half of that fourth quarter, the Nuggets just turned it up a notch through those missed shots from the Celtics, and they were able to blow this game open to a 20-point deficit. Three players from the Nuggets score over 20 points tonight. Wilson Chandler leads everyone with 23. Jokic, who's been playing phenomenal, he's put Jokic. Together not – what's that?
Jokic.
Jokic, yeah, Jokic. Yeah, I told myself not to mess that up. Damn it, and I already did.
Djokovic, is that the trick there? The Denver Nuggets looked unreal, like some sort of 2K super team. Wilson Chandler looked like a rich man's Paul George from 2013 tonight, just banging down threes. And Jokic, my God, they said he was a chubby point guard as a kid. That guy has some great instincts, great hands, great feet. Denver's, they got some cornerstone players on that spot. And you know what? The Celtics just looked exhausted. Certainly wasn't the Isaiah Thomas show tonight. They just looked out of sorts and team that looks thrilled to be heading home.
Yeah, absolutely. And even Gallinari was, of course, doing things that he's been doing throughout his entire career, just scoring in every single way, it felt like. Wilson Chandler. I mean, these are guys that this is what they do in the regular, right? But, of course, when the Celtics are at the tail end of this kind of road trip, it was tough for them to keep up with the Nuggets. And I felt like the defense just wasn't there. The intensity wasn't there. You know, if you look at from afar, you may say to yourself, and it's so easy to say this, that, oh, maybe the Celtics were just too high off of that Golden State win, and they came into this game, and maybe they took the Nuggets lightly. But I don't think that was the case. I just think these guys, they just didn't have it in them tonight. And the Nuggets just made them pay throughout this throughout 48 minutes. The Celtics never led once throughout this game. And the Nuggets proved why they're so good in scoring while the Celtics were trying to keep up throughout the entire 48 minutes.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, go ahead, Calvin. I'm sorry.
I'm just a little confused about what's going on here. I want to talk a little bit about Isaiah. I was going to ask because I suppose away something else, but I'm going to get into it later. I sort of feel like the dirty little secret about the Celtics team, or specifically about Isaiah, is that even though he's still playing well, he's not quite playing to that superhuman level that I felt like he was at earlier in the season. And I think the reason why he doesn't seem to be finding the lane, getting dribble drives to the basket, and it seems like lately when he has a good game, it's because he's hitting his perimeter shot. We didn't see Isaiah penetrate very much tonight either. You know, isolating, taking his man off the dribble and getting looks at the rim, he seems to be having a more difficult time seeing the rim lately. Are you seeing that too?
I saw that tonight, but I think a lot of that had to do with the Denver's front court. I mean, they, defensively, I feel like they really were making it tough for the guys up front. They were reading the switches correctly. You saw in some instances where he was sort of trying to find his rhythm, but I also think what helps Isaiah is when he's able to find his guys. And even though Avery Bradley did finish with 16 points, he did shoot 6 for 14. I'm with you. Isaiah Thomas still didn't look like the same Isaiah Thomas he looked like before the All-Star break. I think he's still trying to get back into that Mr. Fourth Quarter Isaiah that we're accustomed to seeing. And even in Golden State, I mean, he did hit a couple of good, you know, big shots, the moments that certainly defined the game and put the Celtics ahead when they certainly needed it. But, yeah, I'm with you. He hasn't necessarily been the same Isaiah who averages 10 points every fourth quarter this season, leads the league in most points in the fourth quarter. So that was certainly that helped the Nuggets that the that Thomas hasn't been that guy that we're used to seeing.
Well, I think that the thing that defined this road trip to me is just in terms of the style of basketball that's been played in all these games, even though the, you know, there was a lot of points being put up tonight, is physicality. It seems like we're getting to that point in the season. The referees are letting a lot of things go. It just seems to be a more physical game lately. And even in that, like you said, that win against Golden State, yeah, you know, Isaiah had 25 points, tonight he had 21. I'm not saying he's been bad, but even in that game, he had to take 10 threes. It's not the fact that he's not scoring. I just feel like he hasn't been, and maybe they're just trying to run offense away from him. I felt like he didn't really get the ball enough in the fourth quarter. You know, I have something to say about Marcus Smart that I'll get to in a minute, but I think that has a little bit to do with it. I mean, the fact that Marcus Smart is posting up on three consecutive possessions in the fourth quarter, like he's I don't know, like he's an All-Star center, like he's Jokic. But I do feel like, just in terms of, like, he's still a great offensive player, but it seems like he's having difficulty getting off that shot in the lane when we saw earlier in the season where he would just defy logic and be able to squeeze that shot out in the lane. I don't know. I think that that's sort of affecting the offense all the way around in terms of other guys are, you know, have managed to find their buckets, guys like Jay Crowder, you know, feeding entirely off of Isaiah's creation. I'm not seeing enough of Isaiah the creator lately, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Well, Thomas finished the night with 21 points. He still led the team in scoring like he usually does. Al Horford had 15. Avery Bradley had 16 points. I mean, if you look at this box score, you see guys sort of all contributing on the offensive end, but it just wasn't the same cohesive unit that we've seen the Celtics throughout the season, you know, especially in games where they lose by this many, you know, 20 points. The last time this happened was when the Wizards blew them out. Those two games are their biggest loss of the season, losing by 20 points. And the biggest difference I think I saw between that game in Washington and compared to this one, I feel like was just the same lack of, I don't want to say lack of defense, but just lack of coming up with stops when you really needed to make the stops, when you needed to make that run. Another difference I saw between this game and the game against the Wizards was the Celtics was just sort of one run away, it felt like, right? Calvin, I mean, 8 points, they kept playing with that. 8 points, 9 points, 8 points, back down to 13, back up, you know, within eight. But they just couldn't make that leap. And I think a lot of that had to do with their legs. I mean, I know some would say that's a cop-out, but I just feel like this Denver Nuggets team, every single game matters to them. They need to continue to win games because out of those teams that are battling for that eighth spot, they had the tougher schedule, you know, and they only have a two game lead for that eighth spot. So it's very crucial for them to win games, especially at home. And that's what they did tonight. They certainly took care of business. But we want to hear what everyone out there thinks about this game. So give us a call, 347-215-7771. Again, the phone number is 347-215-7771. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll find out what Calvin has to say about Marcus Smart, who was certainly frustrated tonight. Whether it was talking to the referees, whether it was getting into it with players, he just completely was just out of sync, and his night certainly ended earlier than you would have anticipated, because they when the Celtics needed stops, of course you want Marcus Smart out there, but he just didn't have it tonight. But we'll get more into that after the break. This is the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio with Joseph Pavone, Calvin Chamberlain, and hopefully your phone calls right after this quick commercial break.
Hey, this is Ty Ray from Beats and Eats Podcast, and today's Celtics postgame show is being brought to you by the SeatGeek ticketing app. As the Celtics playoff push heats up, SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to get tickets to every game. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. And it doesn't end with the Celtics or any other NBA game. SeatGeek also has plenty of concert, comedy, and theater tickets available too, and it's fully guaranteed. Listeners to CLNS Radio can support this production and get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's how. Download the free SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code, and enter promo code CLNS, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter promo code CLNS. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just two taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just used SeatGeek to buy Portland Trailblazers tickets, and I found the app a breeze to use. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click on Add a Promo Code. Enter promo code CLNS. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code CLNS today.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free, 347-215-7771.
Welcome back into the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for the Boston Celtics. Celtics get an old-fashioned blowout in Denver tonight as they lose to the Denver Nuggets 119-99. And now the Celtics are clinging on to that two seed by half a game before they head home to take on the Chicago Bulls, a team that has found themselves out of the playoff picture after tonight. So it's going to be interesting to see how hungry they're going to be against the Celtics as they'll square off in a matinee at TD Garden. This is Joseph Pavone alongside Calvin Chamberlain. Chris Finland is behind the glass. And we're going to get to him soon because Chris was so eager to get into this one, man. He was giving his two cents in the first segment. We'll get him in here in a second. But first, let's jump to the phone lines here. And the way you can join us, of course, is 347-215-7771. Again, the phone number to reach us at is 347-215-7771. And the phone lines are brought to you by mybookie.ag. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround whenever you ask for a payout? Come join MyBookie today. I would only recommend a service that's been good to me and to our listeners. That's why I urge you to make your way to MyBookie. You win and they pay fast and without any hassles. Trust me, you are wasting your time betting anywhere else. They have in-game live betting, so you can place a bet after tip-off. And if you join right now, MyBookie will match your first deposit with a 50% bonus. That's right. If you join right now with $100, you'll get an extra $50 bankroll to play with. Head to mybookie.ag. That's www.mybookie.ag or call 844-900-BETS. Use the promo code CPG50. Again, that is CPG50, the promo code at mybookie.ag or call 844-900-BETS. mybookie.ag. Play, win, and get paid. So our first call of the night is Bobby from Boston. Bobby, welcome
into
the
show. What's up, Joe's
way? What's up, Bobby? Sorry, man. I was trying to look for the name here, and there it is. What's up, Bobby? Thanks for calling.
I'm a little frustrated tonight. You know, I was expecting a loss, and
you know, it just looked like a trap game from a mile away. So you could have seen the Celtics losing tonight easily in Denver with the altitude, with Jokic playing the way he is, with Denver being a team that's desperately running towards the playoffs. But what kills me with the Celtics team, and it's my biggest reservation with this team as a whole, I love this team. I love the way they're set up. The way they play offense is sensational. Again, a record year from Isaiah Thomas. But the one reservation I really have about them, and it showed tonight more than ever, is the compete level defensively. They're so much better defensively than they play most nights. And it sometimes looks like they don't even put emphasis on that end. The amount of threes that the Nuggets hit just setting simple high screens and coming over the top and shooting them just drove me mad tonight. And what was even worse is that I thought it was a pretty good offensive night for the Celtics. They didn't get in the hundreds because they kind of waved the white flag with about 3 minutes to go. But they had some great plays throughout the course of this game. They passed really well again. I think Kelly Olynyk being completely out of the game hurt them when he was, of course, having probably his best night in a Celtics uniform Wednesday against the Warriors. But every single time they made a great play offensively, but Denver was just able to run back the other way and either drive straight to the lane. Jamal Murray just drives straight to the basket through the whole defense at one point. Or they were able to just set a high screen and hit a quick three. There was no resistance whatsoever. And Jokic's a great player, but Al Horford is the kind of guy who needs to step up there and limit the amount of damage he's able to produce. And I just didn't see it from him. There were so many plays where Jokic just stutter-stepped right through the whole defense. There was no resistance whatsoever tonight, and that frustrates me. They might have lost tonight either way, but you don't want to lose by 20 to a team that's 30 and 35. I don't care what the situation is.
Yeah, I hear you, Bobby. You want to go first, Calvin?
Oh, I was just going to say, you remember after the last postgame show where I said Olynyk sometimes defends like a giraffe? I mean, tonight was pure giraffe tonight. If you watch the way Jokic just dribbled past him while he's just dribbling, trying to use his arms to defend and letting guys
he
get
was
past.
Awful defensively tonight. Yeah. And sometimes he plays good within the system, but tonight all his flaws were exposed.
Yeah,
he only played 10 minutes, too. I was surprised by that.
Well, that's why. That's because he was so bad defensively that it was clear that Brad Stevens was not trying to reward him by giving him more minutes. Even at the end of the game, he put Tyler Zeller rather than give Kelly Olynyk those garbage time minutes. That was a clear message in my mind to Olynyk, because he was out there, he gave up, you know, two huge baskets, and then he was gone. So I think that had a lot to do with it tonight. It's a shame because, you know, Olynyk that has those moments where he really helps the team spread the floor offensively, something they could have used tonight. But, I just don't think he was capable of defending either him or Plumlee, who's an underrated pick-and-roll guy himself. He just doesn't have the lateral movement sometimes to stay with those guys.
Well, one thing I was hoping the Celtics – yeah, what's up?
The one thing I want to ask you before I go, and I want to hear your opinion on it, the easy answer is Isaiah Thomas. But with all the defensive personnel this team has between Crowder, Horford, Johnson, Bradley, Smart, outside of Thomas's obvious shortcomings defensively, why do you think they fall so short defensively as a team?
I just think sometimes they just don't have that same intensity when they're playing certain teams. I mean, we talked about this in our last show, Calvin, how when they're playing against the Cavaliers and playing against the Warriors, you just see them step up to a certain level that you saw on more of a consistent level last season. This year, I feel like you don't see that same intensity. And I think a lot of the time, they sort of get overwhelmed by other teams, by teams' runs. Like we saw it tonight in the first quarter, you know, when the Nuggets got out to that lead. And I feel like because of this team, compared to last year's team, is so effective offensively, because offensively, this team could put up, could score a lot more buckets than we saw this team score last year, right? And I feel like because of that, they sort of rely on their offense to sort of get them out of the hole, so to speak. And I just feel like you can't do that night in, night out, especially against a team like the Nuggets, where size-wise, I mean, they're just – it's almost a mismatch through positions one through five. And I just saw that struggle within this team. And I felt like one of the things that they could have done to help them in the second half was slow the game down. And I know that's really hard for the Celtics. They love to get out and play in transition, but I feel like against this Nuggets team, they were going to run you out the gym, and that's exactly what happened in the second half. although those transition buckets sort of helped the Celtics come back within 7-8 points like they did throughout the third and fourth quarter, at the same time, it helped the Nuggets get back out into a double-digit lead every 2 to 3 minutes, it felt like, back and forth, until eventually the Nuggets sort of just ran them out, and you saw the fatigue start to set in those last 4 or 5 minutes, and the Nuggets just cruised to an easy victory.
See, to me, there are several key differences between this year's defense and last year's. One, I feel like Amir Johnson was really underrated in defending, switching, being able to guard smaller guys and defending the post, even though he wasn't a shot blocker. He was a good, strong body and a post defender. I feel like he's lost a step in terms of quickness, even though he's still pretty good. He's decent at that, but he can't switch anymore, and he's not getting the minutes he got last year. So they really don't have any post defender at all. I mean, Horford, yes, but Horford's more of a weak side guy, more of a switch type defender than a guy who's really going to protect the rim. So I feel like even though they weren't great at protecting the rim last year, they're worse this year. Avery Bradley's been out for half the season. I think we even see it now. Avery Bradley's not back to being Avery Bradley yet. He got roasted in Golden State. He got roasted a little bit tonight. I think that he'll be fine. Once he gets back into the groove of it, I just don't think he's completely healthy yet. I think Crowder is not quite as good defensively as he was last year. He's still pretty good. I don't want to take too much away from him, but I think last year he was, I know Avery Bradley got all the credit for being a all-NBA level defender, but I think Jay Crowder, there was easily an argument to be made that he was an all-NBA defender last season too. I think this year, I just don't think he's as aggressive as in terms of like trying to get the ball out of players' hands. And I would say that about the entire Celtics defense. I think last year they thrived off of traps, ball pressure, creating turnovers, getting easy points in transition. And we don't see it nearly as much this year. I think another reason why is Evan Turner was an underrated defender last year for them. He was a guy who played, a lot of one and two, and he was a gigantic guard who, did pretty good at containing his man as well. And now I think Smart is basically the guy in that situation. Once you get past him, Rozier and Brown aren't quite ready for it. NBA defense consistently yet, and they're getting those sort of minutes that more experienced guys got last year. I mean, all of those things combined are why they're not nearly as good as they were last year.
Well, Calvin, let me ask you this. When Eric Bledsoe got past Jay Crowder to tie up that game in Phoenix, you think that happens if this was last year, you think that still happens against Crowder?
No, that's what I'm saying. I feel like
Crowder, no chance, right? There's no chance he gets that layup.
I don't know what's going on with him. I just feel like it's weird to say, when a guy takes a step back offensively and doesn't have the same year, you sort of accept it, right? You say, well, ball's just not going in as much as it did last year. But when a guy's not quite as good defensively, you can't really say, oh, well, his hands just aren't up as much as they were last year. It's sort of a weird analogy to make, because you think unless he's, like, getting old, which in Jay Crowder's case is not the case, or he has some sort of injury, which I guess, coming early on in the season, he had injuries, but he should be completely recovered from them now. So I'm not quite sure what it is with him completely. I still think he's been good, but just not the all-NBA level defender that he was last year.
Yeah, I agree, Calvin. I think it's just the in terms of being a perimeter defender, Crowder does an amazing job of defending the three arc, right? He'll put a hand in your face. He'll make it really tough for you to make shots from the perimeter or even just a bit inside. But if you can blow past him, once you blow past him, I mean, I just don't see the same Jay Crowder who can stay in front of his guys like he used to do with last season against whether it was Kevin Durant or Carmelo Anthony or even LeBron James. I mean, some of the best scorers in the NBA, Jay Crowder used to keep up with those guys. Jay Crowder kept a hand in those guys' faces. Yeah, they may have scored 30 points against him, but it took them almost 30 attempts to get there, it felt like, He would make sure these guys had horrible shooting nights, and that, of course, always helped the Celtics in those tough matchups against some of the best scorers in the NBA. But, Bobby, before I let you go, how do you feel about these next 16 games? Because, as we say, this is the final stretch. And I feel like I've been saying that for, like, the last five games. I feel like I've been saying that since the beginning of the second half of the season. But this is really it. I mean, you have 16 games left in the season. You're only half a game up of the Wizards and the Raptors for that second seed. So they're breathing down the Celtics' neck. But to help the Celtics, of course, is this schedule. You have a handful of teams, six, seven teams within those 16 games that are below 500 teams that the Celtics should beat. Teams are within their, you know, stretch of winning these games. But, of course, you look at what happened against Phoenix. You look at how they let up against the Lakers. I mean, sure, they still won the game, but the Celtics tend to give up big leads against these type of teams. So, of course, that's a bit concerning. What is your take on how the Celtics can finish the rest of this regular season? And do you think they hold on to that second seed come April?
Well, Josie, we lost Bobby. Hopefully he joins us again. But, you know, going down the stretch, the final 16 games, it sounds
You know what? I'll direct my question to you then.
Oh, well, thank you very much, sir. It's a pleasure to join you,
Chris
gentlemen.
Finland, welcome into CLNS Radio. He's been producing. He started off a bit, giving his take in the first segment. And you know what? I thought Bobby was still there, so I was going to bring you in right after Bobby's take. But you know what? I'll just redirect my question to you. So what do you think about the Celtics finishing this regular season?
Thank you, sir. Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you for kicking it to me. You know, down the stretch, it sounds cliche. They looked very tired tonight. They just have to keep their eye on the prize. You know, they have to balance out staying competitive 16 games and keeping their eyes on the playoffs. Josie, I think that they have a tremendous chance, but the one thing that always concerns me when I watch them is rebounding. You know, I played as a big man, an old big Bill Laimbeer type player back in the day, and rebounding is something I always look for. And when Marcus Smart is leading the team in rebounds, I think that's a big concern. So, I mean, I don't know what you think about that as you watch this club.
Yeah, you know what? Out of all the games that the Celtics have won, throughout those wins, one of the common things you always see in the box score is that either one or two things happen. They win the rebounding matchup, or they give up. You know, it's like a -2, -3. That was certainly not the case tonight. The Nuggets grabbed 49 boards tonight, while the Celtics only grabbed 33. So, again, like I said from the top, I mean, the recipe for disaster for the Celtics is giving up points in the paint. And you may ask yourself, oh, well, how many points did they give up tonight? They give up 58. So there's that. You know, the Denver Nuggets are third in the league for points scored in the paint, and they did what they usually do. They outscored their opponent in the paint. They gave up the rebounds that they shouldn't have against the Nuggets. And finally, they gave up 119 points. I mean, this is the recipe for disaster if you want to beat the Boston Celtics. You outscore them, of course. Obviously, that's how you win a game, of course. But you not only do it by such a large margin, but you also out-rebound them, and you also outscore them in the paint. The Celtics only scored 28 points in the paint tonight.
But to me, the fact that they lost the rebounding battle to the Nuggets, it's not a surprise at all. I mean, I saw possession where Isaiah Thomas was guarding Gallinari in the post. They were outmanned just literally every single one of the Nuggets players seemed tall, you know, 6 inches taller than the Celtics player guarding him. So I think where the Celtics of old, and even, you know, the Celtics of this year when they're successful, when they win those games against teams that are putting up size, they're winning the game with, you know, eating more threes and creating more turnovers. And if you look at the threes and turnovers, they both had 12 threes. They both had 18 turnovers. I think the fact that they didn't win either one of those scenarios and got manhandled in the post, it's like you're not going to win a game like that. You have to make a team pay. If you're going to be the team going small, you have to make that team pay with perimeter shots. You have to make the team pay by you know, getting to the big men and getting in the passing lanes, creating turnovers and getting easy buckets. And we didn't see that tonight, and that's why they got blown out. I don't think it was necessarily the rebounding because, yeah, that's not going to happen. But can we get to Marcus Smart? Because I got some thoughts on this guy.
All right, let's get to Marcus Smart. Smart tonight was a minus 17 and the plus minus. I know you're not a big fan of that stat, but I had to bring that up because he was on a streak where he wasn't on the wrong side of that stat. But tonight was not the case. Minus 17. He finished with 13 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and only a pair of turnovers, but defensively, he was very frustrated against this Denver Nuggets team. But let's hear it, Calvin. What's your take on Smart's game tonight?
Yeah, the two best Celtics tonight were Gerald Green and Amir Johnson, right? They're the only guys with positive plus minuses. That sounds about right to me. Anyway, Marcus Smart. Yeah, so It's like he's such a dichotomy as a basketball player, right? What a fascinating Marcus Smart game that was. It just encapsulated everything about him. You know, the two offensive rebounds he just hustled for, and on that possession where he got his own shot back twice and then missed his own shot twice. But just the fact that he was climbing over bigger men, defending bigger guys all night effectively, being an agitator, but then also sort of taking it too far a couple of times, flopping against Gallinari, setting that screen against Gary Harris that traveled about 7 feet worth of screen. But all of that is fine. All of that, you know, encapsulates what I think Celtics fans love about Marcus Smart, which is like he's the ultimate, you know, nose to the grindstone wall player. And if he was just that, I think that the contingent of Celtics fans that like don't like Marcus Smart probably wouldn't have anything to complain about. I think it's fine. I mean, it's not ideal, but it's okay that Marcus Smart can't shoot. What I don't think is okay is when he tries to take over the offense despite the fact that he can't shoot. It's not the fact that he went 4-for-14. It's the fact that he took so many one-on-one drives into the lane, you know, double-clutch shots over arms in front of his face when he should have passed it out, or not dribble drives in the first place. Like I said earlier, he posted up three straight possessions in the fourth quarter. Isaiah Thomas is like not getting the ball, or I don't understand why they're not running the offense to him. Like, since when is Marcus Smart a post-up player? Maybe you do that for Jaylen Brown, who, you know, to just jump in and give Jaylen Brown credit. Excellent game by him, and I remain impressed by how quickly he can make moves, and while also showcasing his power at the same time. I feel like most guys who try to showcase their power usually slow the offense down, but somehow he manages to be powerful without slowing the Celtics offense down. Anyway, sorry, I digress. Back to Marcus Smart. The point is, I feel like there are too many times where Marcus Smart seems to think he's a superstar. If he took six shots a game and did all the Marcus Smart things that he does right now, he'd be amazing. Who cares if he goes 1-for-6? But if he goes 4-for-14 and his usage rate is outrageous for what it should be, you look at him and you go, what are you doing? Right? Maybe it's just me.
Well, the post-up thing, I've noticed that it seems like Brad Stevens is calling for that every now and then. One of the examples of that where it worked in his favor was against the Cavaliers, believe it or not. I thought he did good against Kyrie Irving in the paint. He scored a couple of buckets against him. Of course, that's not going to happen every single time. I think against his Nuggets team, it was really tough for him to do that because of their size, obviously, and because there were times where he got caught in the switch and he was still trying to score in the paint against someone that's obviously bigger and stronger than him. In some instances, it works because he's strong, right? For a guard, he can certainly bang down low against a smaller guard or someone of his stature. But against this Nuggets team, I mean, who are you going to do that with? I mean, Jameer Nelson is sort of built the same way as Marcus Smart. And then you look at their backup point guard. Their backup point guard right now is Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray, of course, is much taller than Marcus Smart, much quicker than Marcus Smart. He can keep up with Marcus Smart, and he certainly did that tonight. So against this Nuggets team, I'm with you. I don't agree with that move. Against other opponents, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I don't hate it, but the crazy shots and the shot selection that he was taking, the double pump, that can never happen. And I thought that we were done seeing those type of attempts from Marcus Smart, but of course that wasn't the case tonight. Chris, what's your take on Marcus Smart's game, and what do you think he needs to do in order to help this team scoring-wise? We've seen him throughout the season become a good facilitator and find his guys. He's been stacking up assists lately, but when he starts taking matters into his own hands and trying to score, sometimes it doesn't always work the way we want him to.
He doesn't seem to have the luck that Isaiah Thomas does with getting the ball through the bottom of the hoop. But I got to tell you,
no,
and it's become an increasingly unpopular opinion of mine amongst Celtics fans, but I love Marcus Smart. He reminds me of a pit bull. He's tenacious. He's got that attitude. He wants to be the guy. And he's going to go in and he's going to get dirty. I love the fact that he bounces into the defender before he hits the layup. He's a tough, hard-nosed player. And I am a huge fan of his, and I see him evolve and get better each game. And I also see him, he's worthy of an Academy Award. Do you see the eye gouge? Did you think that contact was made, or did he do a tremendous acting job late in the fourth quarter when he went down with the eye poke? What do you think?
I'm going to say it was about 50-50. Maybe he did catch one in the eye, but it wasn't as bad as he was making it look. What do you think?
Yeah, I noticed a lot of theatrics from him, and I like it. I think that that only helps you. It only can get you calls. I hate it when other teams do it, but I like to see it from Smart.
Yeah, but Smart's not going to get those calls, though. That's the thing, because he has that reputation, and it's almost like everyone's going to say he's crying sheep. Like, they're not going to believe him. And that's the only thing I hate about those situations. But at the same time, the thing that I like about it is that he gets under people's skin, and that opponents get really frustrated when they face Marcus Smart. So that's always a good thing. You always want that.
Absolutely. When I see this team, it's a soft-looking team. You just look at Jericho and Olynyk, and that says enough. You need a guy who can be an agitator a little bit, under people's skin, be that tenacious pit bull. And I think you need a lot more guys that street fight mentality that Marcus Smart has if you're going to be a hard-nosed playoff contender and have the mettle to go seven games against LeBron James and every single favorable call from the referees. Now, you hit the nail right on the head. The refs don't like him. You watch the games, he doesn't get the calls. But he's still young. He's still developing. If he develops into the player I hope he can be, that golden lottery pick, then he can be a very complete player. He can rebound. He's learning to distribute. He's learning to get to the lane. I think his shot is developing. Just look out for this guy. I think he's going to be a superstar. And you're right about the calls. He's looking like a punk. But those things can only go your way. We saw Ginobili flop for a decade and get the call almost every time. So I think it works in your favor.
I don't think it works in your favor. That's really why I don't love it. I love the other aspect. I like the agitator element of it. I like when he, annoys the other team into maybe, hitting him too hard or doing things like that, getting him, putting his hand in people's faces and all that stuff to make other players mad, because players tend to not play as well when they're mad. All that stuff I appreciate about him, his toughness. I think the flopping element of it's I don't think it works out very often because, one, I don't think that he's great at flopping. He gets a call sometimes, but I think there's just many times where he gets a no call. And then there's a situation where he's laying on the floor or, the ball's going the other way and he's out of position because he's trying to get this flop, or it's called an offensive foul when he could have just made another play, but he's trying to. I just feel like he's trying too hard with these flops. I don't think it's born of some sort of maliciousness. I think it's more of what you're talking about, trying to get an edge. And I respect the trying to get an edge, even when it comes down to, like, little dirty plays when, the referee's not looking. If you can get away with a little something that's not too physical, I don't even have a problem with that. I just don't think that it's working out for him, or it's going to work out for him to build the reputation he's been building as a guy who's trying to show the referees up.
3-4-7-2-1 I do like it.
I saw
the other night. Oh, I'm sorry,
Joshua. It's all right. I'll get the number out real quick. Give me another caller.
It's
all good. 347-215-7771 is how you reach us. Again, that's 347-215-7771. Go ahead. My fault. Go ahead.
Well, sorry about that. As I was saying, I think that we have a team of choir boys. And I don't think that they're tough. I don't think the mentality of this team is tough. When I watch them, I want to throw the TV out the window. I say to Kelly Olynyk, box out. Don't worry, you're not going to break a nail. And it's very frustrating. I like Smart. He's a throwback to that kind of tough early 90s, kind of John Starks kind of basketball, where he's an agitator. And I think you need that on the team. I don't know if you have enough of those kind of guys in this league these days, but I just get this kind of toughness from him that I admire, that I don't see a lot in this soft NBA of today. And he's a hard-nosed player, and for me that goes a very long way. 16 games down the stretch, I hope he can turn it on. Obviously, maturity can be an issue with Marcus Smart. You guys agree with that?
Maturity, yeah, a bit, but I think he's someone that we don't have to worry about that. At the end of the day, I don't look at him as someone that's going to let his emotions get the best of him, where he gets tossed or this. And I mean, yeah, he'll get a tech here and there, but I think his head's in the right place. I just think that sometimes. Yeah, exactly. Nor is he locker room cancer or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, he's not that type of player. Right, exactly. Yeah. He's the I always look at him as the sort of the Draymond Green, so to speak, of this team. No, does he perform like Draymond Green? Is he that effective? Of course not. But he's sort of that guy on the defensive end that the other teams cannot stand. I always think of him as someone as you can't stand to play against him, but you would love to have him on your team type of play.
Compared to Draymond Green, I think I saw him smack somebody in the nuts the other day, if my memory serves correct, and you know, something like that. I'm sure he can get an edge for a minute or two with a nut shot.
But you know what? He's a little more subtle with it, though. He's not going to kick people in the nuts as Draymond would. But, hey, either
true.
Way,
like
that is. That is not the way you play defense in the NBA, but I would like to think that with him, he doesn't do it as malicious as Draymond Green does. Calvin.
Well, you know, they're going down the stretch, the Eastern Conference, everyone's within a game of each other. This is where it's make or break, you know. This is where you separate the men from the boys, and Brad Stevens, we trust. I know he's not anywhere near that Belichick level, but can you put that level of trust in this particular coach as we approach what is the most trying and testing season of his career, as he has done great things with this team, but now he's about to almost bring us to the promised land, something we'd never expect from this young team, right?
Well, I think you have to have that sort of level of trust in him. And I was just going to say, Calvin, I mean, we talked about – I talked earlier about, you know, the last show that we had after the Warriors game, and it's just the defensive intensity. It just seemed like we were watching a completely different team. And, again, I know the schedule is going to play a role here, especially playing in, you know, a place like Denver and being the fifth team of this West Coast road trip. But I think at the end of the day, a lot of these guys, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, I mean, pretty much the top of the rotation here, you have to rely on all of these guys in order to become that strong of a defensive team. To take down a top-notch backcourt like the Golden State Warriors, I mean, that's the best backcourt in the NBA. That is the most explosive backcourt in the NBA. And the Celtics made them look like chumps the other night. And not to mention, the Golden State Warriors had plenty of rest going into that game. The Golden State Warriors hadn't played a game since Sunday. Meanwhile, the Celtics had played two games since that stretch, and they were still able to outplay them in that fourth quarter on their floor at Oracle, a place that is damn near impossible for opponents to come out with a win, or at least a type of win where the Celtics saw the Golden State Warriors starters on the bench watching those last 90 seconds. It's very hard to get to win a game like that against Golden State at Oracle, and the Celtics did it, and they did it behind efficient defense, strong defense that turned into efficient offense. And a lot of that was just a testament to how tough the Celtics can be on the defensive end when they really want to be.
I'm pretty sure, because I remember we had this discussion that didn't the Warriors just have a game in Atlanta on Monday, and then they had to fly in and play that game at Oracle on Wednesday, and the Celtics were in L.A.? I thought that was the case, but I could be wrong about that. I just remember having that discussion about it, thinking they had tired legs, but certainly that's not to take away from the
defense. Well,
they
were coming from the road, but no, they played the You know what? You're right. I'm sorry. Yeah, you know what? They had a game after the Knicks game. I was thinking of the Knicks game on Sunday, but yeah, they went to Atlanta on Monday, and then got back to Wednesday. Okay, yeah, so they're a little more tired. I completely forgot about that Monday game. But yeah, they're a little more tired coming off the road. But I mean, either way, those were games where I just feel like the Celtics were sort of just they step up. You know, they don't look at the team like the Warriors or the Cavaliers and think to themselves, oh wow, we got our hands full tonight. No, they have full confidence going into those games. And I didn't think the Celtics would – I didn't put them out of the reach of not winning that game against the Golden State Warriors, but I didn't think they would win it like that, you know, with that type of lead going into those last couple of minutes.
Yeah, it's really interesting the way the Warriors have sort of collapsed. You know, again, not to take too much away, they lost tonight against the Timberwolves, you know, by one. But I feel like that team is not what it was earlier in the season. I would probably favor the Celtics, you know, on a, it's weird to say an even court, but, you know, in neither home nor away situation, right now the Celtics are probably a little better than the Warriors just because they don't seem to have a grasp on how to play without Kevin Durant right now. But as far as the Celtics go, I think they're a good team. I think this was just one of those schedule losses, the end of a long road trip. The Warriors game was far more impressive. I think in that situation, the Warriors were a team that played into the Celtics' hands. They did not try to dominate the boards the way the Nuggets did tonight. They, you know, tried to beat the Celtics through hitting threes, and they couldn't hit their threes. And, you know, the Celtics were the ones getting the rebounds, holding them to one-and-done situations, and their defense looked dominant. I think that, to me, is the difference, right? The Warriors tried to take all the shots from the perimeter. They were contested pretty well by the Celtics. The Celtics are a good three-point contesting team, second in the league. They're not a good rim-protecting team, right? I mean, that's the bottom. When we talk about these two games, the Nuggets went at the Celtics' weak point. The Warriors went at the Celtics' strong point.
Well, if we look ahead, there's plenty of teams where the Celtics should be able to, pick things up for where they left off from that Golden State team, Golden State game. And we'll get into that right after this quick commercial break. This is the Boston Celtics post-game show on CLNS Radio. Celtics drop one against the Nuggets, 119-99. 347-215-7771 is your last chance to get on as we wrap things up in our third and final segment. Again, the phone number is 347-215-7771. I am Josue Pavone, Calvin Chamberlain, and Chris Finland behind the glass, wrapping this this postgame show up right after this quick break, third and final segment.
Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Internet Radio Pioneers, and Celtics Diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweet and mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
You know, not all ingredients are created equal. So fresh, high-quality ingredients, they make the real difference, and that's why Blue Apron is so good. Blue Apron will send you meals to your house for less than $10 per meal. They deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals, so they set the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. So whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or just heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best right to your door. You don't even have to go out to the grocery store. It's cold outside now. You don't have to go out and be cold. You can stay inside forever and just cook Blue Apron. They have new recipes weekly, and they're not even repeated within a year. So you make one, you don't have to do it again. It's fresh every single time. It's new every single time. You have your own little restaurant in your kitchen. You can customize your recipe each week based on your preferences. I don't like fish that much, so I'm able to customize this so that I don't get fish options. I actually got a masala spice chicken dish. I love chicken tikka masala. This is perfect. It came with a kale and lime rice side, so I kind of got a little bit of everything, got a balanced nutritional meal. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. Just go to blueapron.com/gardenreport. You will love how good it feels and how good it tastes to create this incredible home-cooked meal with Blue Apron. As someone who does not cook very well and struggles with toast bagel bites, I am actually cooking meals and I'm actually doing it pretty well, and it's an amazing experience, and it's actually really good food. So you'll love Blue Apron. All you have to do is go to blueapron.com/gardenreport. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Welcome back into the Boston Celtics post-game show on CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for the Boston Celtics. The Celtics drop a 20-point deficit, 20-point blowout, I should call that. That's not even a deficit. That's a blowout. 119-99 against the Nuggets as they wrap up their five-game road trip, 2-3. They're still in second place, but not by a lot. Celtics are now 41-25. The Celtics had a chance to tie the Cavaliers in the win column had they have won tonight, but that certainly wasn't the case. The Washington Wizards are not too far behind with a record of 39-24. And right below them is the Toronto Raptors with a record of 38-27. So with 16 games left in the Eastern Conference, man, we've seen crazy things happen in the past, especially what happened last season when they had the four-way tie. So it's going to be interesting. But like I said from the top, I mean, the Celtics, they really have a favorable schedule here. And if they're unable to hold on to that two seed, then it just wasn't meant to be, Calvin. If they can't hold on to that two seed with the team that they're playing against, it wasn't meant to be. And when I say that, I'm talking about this next couple of weeks, because in the middle of those teams, those way below 500 teams, there are two very crucial matchups that could decide this whole outcome of this regular season. And those two teams just so happen to be the Washington Wizards and the Indiana Pacers. Now, the Indiana Pacers are a bit they're a little bit below those teams I just mentioned, the Wizards and the Raptors. They're in the sixth seed with a record of 33-32. But they're playing good basketball right now. I mean, they did just drop a game, but they're sort of trying to put a stride together here and either solidify themselves as that sixth seed or potentially get the five. But realistically, they're going to try to solidify that sixth seed. The Pistons are not too far behind. They are three games below the Hawks. So they're sort of just trying to make space and hold on to that sixth seed. But you have to think to yourself, if the Celtics drop to the third seed and they have to face the Indiana Pacers, I mean, that could be a tough series for the Celtics, a tough matchup for the Celtics, because they have players like Paul George and they have, you know, guys who can bang down low like Miles Turner. You know, that's just an overall tough matchup, even though the Celtics have won the season series against the Indiana Pacers, or they had, you know, they lead it 2-0 going into that matchup. But you know what? Let's see the other games that I'm talking about. These potential freebies, I guess you can call it. Sunday is probably the toughest out of those next four games. Chicago Bulls at home. You have the Minnesota Timberwolves at home. And then you go on the road against the Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers. Calvin, what's your take on this upcoming schedule? And if the Celtics aren't able to at least win three of these next four games, I think you can really start questioning this team in terms of their intensity and their ability to hold on to this two seed. Because if you're not able to go 3-1 in the next four games, you really risk dropping into the third or potential fourth seed in the Eastern Conference when you have teams like the Wizards and the Pacers waiting for you on the other side.
Yeah, I agree, especially with the Wizards lock. Right now they're locked in an overtime battle with Sacramento. If the Wizards win that game, they become the two right now, and the Celtics become the three seed. Their next four games are at Portland, which is, you know, probably a loss or could go either way, but you would think a loss at Minnesota and home versus Dallas and Chicago. So I think that they can win, you know, at least two of those games as well. If they win, if they go 3-1, then the Celtics have to go 3-1 just to stay right there with them, assuming they win this game tonight against Sacramento. We're coming down to it right now. I mean, these teams are all neck and neck. You mentioned the Pacers being the sixth seed, but again, if you look at the Eastern Conference, 6-10, those teams are separated by two games. So it could be any one of those teams that the three seed has to end up playing. It could just easily be the Miami Heat, who's, you know, are sitting in that 10 hole right now.
Well, with the next two games being at home, this would be a great opportunity to go out and get yourself a pack of tickets. You can Sign up for the Family Pack. Take your family to a Celtics game. And these Family Packs are presented by TD Bank. They include 4 tickets, 2 kids' gifts, and a meet and greet with Lucky, and a $20 credit. Find great seats at Celtics.com/family. Again, that is Celtics.com/family, especially a matinee on a Sunday. That would be a great opportunity for anyone to bring their family and enjoy the game. And, of course, they have another home game on Wednesday. But getting back to that Sunday game, is this a trap game? Because I'm usually late with these type of things anyways. I don't know about you guys, but I didn't even know that we're springing forward this weekend. Did you guys know that? We're going to lose an hour of sleep on Sunday. So that makes things even worse for the Celtics going into the 3:30 matinee against the Chicago Bulls. They lose an hour of sleep. They're going to leave Denver tomorrow and they have less than 24 hours to rest and prepare at home against the Bulls. Calvin, what do you – well, you know what? I'm going to throw this one over to our producer here. What's your take on this, Chris? And what do you think the Celtics' chances are of coming out of here with a win here on Sunday in a matinee against the Bulls? And who the hell made this schedule, by the way? I don't know if I'm playing the schedule here. I mean, you have to play the schedule. But, man, what – That is tough for any team to go through the schedule.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, it is a rough schedule. Not only did I not know that we were springing forward today, I thought tip-off was at 10:30 p.m., and my whole schedule is all oigle-boigled. But going down the stretch, losing an hour's sleep, I mean, I think they're professionals. They'll make up for it. They're sleeping in some 5-star mattresses very comfortably. But you know, you're not kidding. What happened with the tip off tonight? I could have sworn I saw on the schedule 10:30, and believe me, I scheduled accordingly.
Yeah, you know what? I thought this game was going to be at least 9:30 or 10. I was thinking 9:30, and that threw me off too. But you know what? I guess we're all a little thrown off. I guess Calvin, what do you think about this Bulls matchup? And let's say potentially they do drop this one and are able to win the next 3. Why would the Celtics even in the wildest dreams for the 76ers and the Brooklyn Nets and the Minnesota Timberwolves, why do you think they would be able to defeat the Celtics in these matchups, whether it's at home or on the road? Like, is there a reason why the Celtics would continue to not step up defensively? Is what we saw tonight an indication of what could happen in the future? Or can we rely on the fact that the Celtics had a tough road trip and they were just really tired going into Denver?
I mean, yeah, just looking at it, the games are spaced out perfectly. Every other day there's a game. The road trip from Brooklyn, from Boston to Brooklyn is, you know, that's like walking down the street, essentially, right? I mean, the distance between Boston and Brooklyn is like the distance between my house and downtown Los Angeles. So I wouldn't worry too much about that travel schedule or even then over to Philadelphia. That's an even shorter distance. So they have no excuse in terms of, you know, not being prepared. And the only argument you can say is, you know, the trap thing is a little bit overused, because I think trap I don't think the teams really go into the next game being overconfident and saying, well, we should beat these guys. I think it's more like exhaustion. What did they do the night before? You know, guys just happen to have bad shooting nights and lose because both teams are full of professionals. I think the idea of a trap is a little bit overstated, but, you know, I guess that's what it is, right? One of these teams shoots well, hits some threes, or the Celtics, you know, players get in foul trouble early. Or that's really what we're talking about. Otherwise, yeah, they should be able to get through this trip. And, you know, these next 4 games, at least 3-1, preferably 4-0. I didn't realize that Washington was the 5th game, you know, at that point.
And then you get the Pacers right after them. Yeah. That's going to be two tough matches for the Celtics.
Yeah, so that game is going to be a big deal at that point, probably regardless of how they do. But I think they really want to go into that game at least tied, right? I mean, preferably with the 2 seed still in hand, but at least tied. I think Washington has a tiebreaker with them, too, for that 2 seed. So that's definitely going to be an important game, regardless, in terms of trying to wrest that tiebreaker right back out of their hands. But we'll see.
Well, the Celtics weren't the only team in the Eastern Conference that got blown out tonight. The Bulls, who they're going to face on Sunday, got blown out by the Rockets, and they're actually on a losing streak right now. So, you know, sometimes you can look at that as, oh, this is a good time for you to get a win, or you can look at it as, oh, they're going to bounce back and come back even stronger on Sunday in a matinee against the Celtics. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Bulls respond to that, especially now that they're out of the playoff picture. You know, they're neck and neck with the Heat for ninth, right outside of the playoffs. Looking in, the Bucks are now at that eighth seed, the 31-33 record. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they respond to this losing streak. And the Celtics are going to have their hands full, I think, honestly. Whether it's going to be Jimmy Butler or Dwayne Wade or both of them, I mean, I think you're going to get a good game from both of those guys. But this is going to pretty much wrap up our show here. We want to get some final thoughts from Calvin. But just to recap what happened tonight, the Celtics did drop a 20-point blowout loss, 119-99. You had three players from the Nuggets score over 20 points in this one. Chandler with 23. Gallinari with 20. Nikola with 21. Jokic, is that right?
Yeah, Jokic, whatever.
Okay, Jokic. All right, I was completely trying to avoid that. Jokic with 21. I thought we'd get a triple-double from him. You know what? He had 10 rebounds and 7 assists in the third quarter. I'm surprised he didn't dish out three more in that fourth, but he just missed a triple-double. He had two or three in the last 2 weeks going into this game, so he's been on a tear for the Nuggets. The Celtics had five players in double figures. Isaiah Thomas leading the way with 21 points. Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown. Brown, 14 points. Smart with 13 off the bench. Al Horford with 15. But, of course, it wasn't enough. The Celtics still dropped the big one. Final thoughts as we wrap this up, Calvin. What's your take on this team? I know we keep beating this to death with the whole defensive shortcomings that we saw tonight. Offensively, even though guys were scoring in double figures, we just didn't see that flow that they needed to pull in within a 6 or 5 point deficit. They just didn't have enough, it felt like. And as we look forward and look to see the Celtics not only have those two games at home, but also play against teams that they should be able to beat on the road, what's your final thoughts as we wrap this show up?
Yeah, I wouldn't be too concerned about this loss overall. Like, it's a team that doesn't match up. They don't match up well with the Celtics, or they do for them match up well for the Celtics. I think the defense will be better once Avery Bradley rounds into form. He's, like, you know, been bad defensively, at least right now. I think he'll be better. Like I said earlier in the show, I have a few concerns about just Isaiah's ability to get to the rim doesn't seem to be quite what it was earlier in the season. I think for them to win a playoff series, he's going to have to be the superhuman Isaiah he was a little bit earlier and not just be, you know, a three-point shooter. I think he's really got to be point guard a little more than he was tonight.
You know what? That's a really good point. I mean, since you brought that up, I'm looking back at this game and even the games throughout the entire road trip where as the road trip carried on, you saw that he was going in less and less. You know, you're sort of settling for those threes. And we've seen Isaiah do that. We've seen him in fast breaks, opportunities where he pulls up and takes a three. And if he makes it, it's awesome. If he doesn't, it's like, oh, that wasn't a great shot. But now you're starting to see him just kind of settle for more threes. I mean, he finished 1 of 6 from the three-point line tonight. But a lot of his points – well, actually, he only had 6 points from the free-throw line. I thought he had more than that. But you saw him sort of settle for shots inside the arc. He was going into the paint. He came up short and – of course, again, the Denver Nuggets, size-wise, it's tough for them to match up against the Celtics. It's just a tough matchup overall, as the Celtics never led once throughout this game. But we will see how they respond when they get back home and face the Chicago Bulls. And with that, we're going to wrap up this post-game show. I always like to remind you that this post-game show will be available for on-demand listening by searching for the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics post-game show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. For CLNS on social media, make sure you follow us at CLNS Radio on Twitter and like us at facebook.com/CLNS. Today's show is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Start using ZipRecruiter for free right now by going to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfans. Also brought to you by Blue Apron. Head over to BlueApron.com/CLNS where you can sign up for 3 free meals, including free shipping. Also brought to you by our friends at MBMT Watches. That's over at mbmtwatches.com/CelticsBeat, where you can sign up for 15% off of your first purchase with free shipping. And the show is brought to you by our good friends at Audible. Head over to audiblepodcast.com/try now for a free 30-day trial of audiobooks Our music was provided by Nick DeCento, Joshua Morse. Of course, we want to thank Bobby for calling in and chiming in. And, of course, everyone that tuned in. For the CLNS Radio Executive Producer, Larry H. Russell. Our Program Director, Justin Poulin. The founder of the network, of course, Nick Gelso. And for my co-host, Calvin Chamberlain. Calvin, we were just holding it down this whole week throughout this road trip, man. While everyone was sleeping and getting rest for the next day of work, we were putting in work right here throughout the late hour shifts, going to 2 to sometimes 3 a.m. it felt like, right? This is fun.
Yeah, I'm going to avoid watching Celtics games for a while because I've been oversaturated by Boston sports.
Well, hey, at least you're out in L.A., man. I mean, you do have that hour difference, but I hear you. You've been watching a lot of Celtics basketball and you've been seeing the ups and downs of the Celtics, right? That's the best way to sum up this week. You saw the very best of the Celtics and what they're able to do and the absolute worst of what they're able to do against the Phoenix Suns and tonight against the Denver Nuggets. So you got the good and the bad out of the Celtics.
Definitely.
All right, well, that's going to do it. I'd like to thank, of course, everyone who listened in, and we'll see everyone back here to Sunday afternoon. I almost said Sunday night. Sunday afternoon when the Celtics take on the Chicago Bulls, and that's the next time you'll hear us. That's going to do it for this edition of the Celtics post-game show. I'm Joseph Pavone. Have a good night, everyone. Let's go Sunday. See you.